Today's daf is Psachim, daf Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel, as we are on Yud Beis Mabeis, today's daf is really the last daf of the first section in the Masechta, as tomorrow we get into the sugya known as Rabbi Chanina Skan HaKohanim. But today we still have one more daf related to Inyanim of Bedikas Chametz, and the times of Bedikas Chametz, as we have discussed so far in this perek, we have discussed the what, the why, the when, right? All the different elements of Bedikas Chametz. So let's get back into what we were up to, and that is on Daf Yud Beis Mabeis. We're going to pick it up with the fifth wide line, Amar of Ashi. So we just spent the blot talking about the comparison between our Mishnah of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and their times for when the Isurim Midrabanan of Chametz kick in, Isur Achila, Isur Hana, Vechulu, comparing that to the Mishnah in Sanhedrin and the way of people in terms of their making mistakes in terms of hours. When they give testimony, 1 hour off, 2 hours off, do the two contexts parallel each other? And we ended up saying that there's a chilik between them. Abaya had said that there's a difference between Eidus and Chametz, because Eidus people are more particular because Mesurah Lizrizim, and only people who know that they're going to be relied on and cross-examined come to give testimony, Mashenki, when it comes to Chametz, and Rava gave other answers. Either way, now we have Rav Ashi. Amar Rav Ashi, fifth line, Kemachlokes be'edus, kach machlokes be'chametz. Just like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir argue when it comes to edus, so too be'chametz there's a parallel machlokes, and Rabbi Meir allows less time. Rabbi Meir, be'chametz, only is makdim the zman a little bit. So too, by Eidus, he allows for less mistakes between the Eidim. While Rabbi Yehuda allows for more time between the Eidim, so too, he also proportionally and in ratio, he requires more time for the Isurim of Chametz. The Gemara says, Pshita hainu hachta amrinan. That's what we've just said the past Amud, that they're parallel machlokos. So the Gemara says, Hakamashmalan, what Rav Ashi is telling me is, Shinuye deshaninan shinuyehu. The answer that we gave up above, Abaya, the chilek between Chametz and Eidus, is a good answer. V'lo teima tanoi. Don't say that, oh, really, it's a machlokas tanoim, whether there's a parallel between the machlokas. No, there is. There is a parallel. Don't think that this is a dachuk answer and we don't accept it lahalacha. We do accept it. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are exactly parallel, and the differences between them are just based on Eidus versus Chametz. But in terms of the ratios, in terms of he has a larger shear and he has a smaller shear, that is an idea that's agreed, that's accepted lamaskana. Period. Next section. Amar of Simi Bar Ashi. Talking a little bit more about the Eidus context. Lo shanu ela b'sha'os. This whole machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is when they argue about hours. Rabbi Yehuda allows, Rabbi Meir allows an hour, Rabbi Yehuda allows 2 hours. Aval echad omer, kodim aneitzachama, ve'echad omer achar aneitzachama, edusan v'tela. But if one says before sunrise and one says after sunrise, even if it's very close, we're going to throw the Eidus out, because that's clear that they're talking about different times. The sun is up, the sun is not up. So that's why even Rabbi Yehuda, who allows a flexible time difference between the two Eidim, will not allow it when it comes to before and after Netzachama. Says the Gemara Pshita, it's pretty obvious. They're obviously different. They're obviously lying, because one is before, one is after. So Ella, no, this is what the Chiddush of Simi Barashi really was. Ella echad omer kodem aneitzachama, ve'echad omer betoch aneitzachama. One says before and one says at. That's the Chiddush. Even there, edusan betela. Even there, we're going to throw them out. We're going to assume that they are lying. So the Gemara says, Hanami pshita. That's also obvious. They tell one's before and one's during. So the Gemara says, no, that's not so obvious. Why? Because ma'u detema travayu chada milsa ka'amri. You might have said that really they're saying the same time. One says before, one says during. V'ha dik'amar b'tocha neitzachama b'giluye havika'i. And the one that says during really is just referring to when the sunrise is first revealed. V'zihahrure ba'alma hudachaza. And you just see the shining of the sun. Meaning he said it's during, but he really meant beforehand. And maybe we should interpret his words as meaning before, and therefore there's no stira between the two people. Kamash malan. on, we say no, there really is a stira, and we do not allow them to testify together. We assume there is a problem. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch discusses Zman of Netzach Hama. The Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Peites, Zman Tfilas HaShachar Mitzvasa Sheyaschil Im HaNetzach Hama. Tachsiv Yiruchim Shemesh, Gemara Maseches Brachos in the first parak. The mitzvah of Shachar is to start with the Netz. V'im is Pal Mishalam on HaShachar, V'heyer Pnei HaMizroch Yatsa. If I davened after dawn, before Netzach Hama, I'm also Yotze, but it's clearly a Bidyevin. It's clearly a Bidyevin to daven before sunrise. The best is at sunrise. If you have to, you can daven before sunrise. V'nimshach zmana at sof arba shos shushlish hayom. And the Zman continues, as we discussed yesterday, shows vanios, until the end of the fourth hour, which is a third of the day. So that's also a Bidyevin. L'chadchila, we should daven with Netz. So that's when everybody used to daven, when they got up earlier. But now we have the bidyeved of after sunrise and before sunrise. The post can discuss, is one more of a bidyeved than the other one? Is it better to daven later? That's what it sounds like, a little bit, from the Shulchan Aruch. Right, you should daven at sunrise. If you daven after dawn, then it's okay, it's your yotzei. But the zman continues at sof arba shos. That's the language of the Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah notes, V'ra'ui v'nachon, quoting this from the Achronim, Lizoyer bazel l'chadchila af bimei aslichos. Even during slichos. Halavai, we should be zoyer on this non-during slichos. V'chein b'choref, k'shemashkimin uban l'beis ha'knesses v'boker ashkeim, yabtino milispal aronetz. Once you daven, you should wait in the winter, when we're all in shul before sunrise, we should wait a little bit. Ach, kishemashkim lateis laderech, if you have shasat chak, if you have another ones, one can at least wait till one is allowed to, if one needs, to daven after dawn. Because the evet, that is when the zman starts. We know, though, that dawn is not the zman for everything. Dawn is the zman for tefillah, but it's not the zman for tefillin and tzitzis. That's a little later, what we call misha yakir. Why do tefillin and tzitzis have different zmanim? We mentioned this a couple weeks ago. But why? By all mitzvahs hayom. Right, all mitzvahs. The Mishnah says in Maseches Megillah. Right, kol mitzvahs hayom, kasher kol hayom. Right, if somebody needs to blow shofar, somebody needs to shake a lulav, all the mitzvahs could go by dawn b'di'evan. All of a sudden, we have tefillin and tzitzis. No, only misha yakir. You can't die. You got to wait a little more. That's why some very early minyanim, sometimes they have to wait to put on talis and tefillin until after yishtabach, because they have to. Everybody has to get to work and they have to have an early. So. Why later? So, the Rabbeinu Yonah describes in Maseches Brachos, because both of those mitzvos have to do with re'iyah, have to do with vision. That is, tefillin, the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, in the first parak, Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha V'Yaro Mimeka, Elu Tefillin Shevarosh. So tefillin has to do with the pasuk in Parshas Kisavo, alludes to tefillin, and that's the makkah that it has to be nigle, at least the tefillin shevarosh. And tzitzis is re'isa moso. So you see, both tzitzis and tefillin have an element of re'iyah related to them. That's why Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Brachos that the shir starts with Misha Yakir. But all other mitzvahs hayom, the mitzvah starts from dawn, including tefillah, but the best time to daven, obviously, was known as vasikin, which is Hanetzach Hama. What about, the post to discuss, is it better to daven? Is it allowed? Is one allowed to daven with the sunrise, with Hanetzach Hama biyachidus? And they want to daven that more than, does that override tefillah b'tzibur later or no? Tefillah b'tzibur comes. So the poskim are machalik between whether you do it every day or not. If you do it every day, maybe you have some flexibility. But if once in a while I just want to wake up and say, no, I want to daven at the Hanetzach Hama today, so it could be that that is not appropriate because one should daven with a tzibur. If one is not normally one who davens with the sunrise. Okay, that's a big discussion about Fasikin, but now we continue. It's interesting, Rashi. Rashi says also, Maseches Brachos, that pasuk, Yiruchim Shemesh, Lefei Areach Dodorim, is a makkah, you should always daven close to the sun. What does that mean? You should daven by sunrise, and also Rashi says you should daven late in the afternoon. We should daven Mincha Ketana, and maybe even pretty late Mincha Ketana, the poskim say. If you look in Rashi, I think it's in Brachos Daftes, that the Rashi says daven very with the sun on both sides. Big discussion in the Rishonim. Mincha Ketana or Mincha Gedola, which is Lechatchila? Machlokas Rambam Tur. The Rambam says clearly that Mincha Ketana is Lechatchila. Because after all, it's parallel to the Tamid Shal Ben Arbayim. Tamid Shal Ben Arbayim is brought late in the afternoon. So that's why Mincha Lechatchila is by Mincha Ketana. B'diyevet, the Rambam says, you could have it after 6.5 hours, because once a year, the Tamid Shal Ben Arbayim is brought so early, on Erev Pesach, right? Once a year. But other way, the Rambam says clearly, the Lechatchila, Mincha Ketana. The Torah says, no, Zvizim HaKdim HaMitzvahs. Zrizim, daven early, Micha Gedola, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, daven's the earliest time you can daven, every tefillah. Daven's Netzachama, and then he daven's very early, right, 12:30, whatever it is, 12:30, 1:30, depending on the time of year, for Mincha, and then daven's Meir at the earliest time. So again, Zrizim Akdila Mitzvahs, that's what the tour suggests. Elu ve'elu, one should follow their practice in terms of the Lechachila time for Mincha. Either way, let's get back to our Gemara, which was discussing sunrise and Netzachama. Second line now on top, Yud Gimel Amid Aleph. Amar of Nachman Amar Rav. Halacha Rebbe Yehuda. We paskin like Rebbe Yehuda that one has the limbo period on Erev Pesach. One has first the Isra Achila ends at the end of the fourth hour, and then you have an hour where there is an Isra Achila, but there's a Heter Hana'a, and that's during the hour that we usually burn our chametz, because the halacha is we have to burn our chametz and be mevatel our chametz while it's still ours, right? You can't, once it's not mine anymore, like the Gemara says earlier, once it's Asr Bahana'a, then it's out of my possession, I can't be mevatel it. And there's a mitzvah to be mevatel and destroy your own chametz. So that's why during that limbo hour is when we burn the chametz. Good, we discussed yesterday the machlokas Rashi, other Rishonim, in terms of when is the mitzvah da'oraisa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in terms of burning versus hashmasas l'b'chol davar. But we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Omer le Rav Valer Rav Nachman, v'neim amar alocha Rabbi Meir. Why do you go like Rabbi Yehuda? Why don't you say like Rabbi Meir? The Sasa Montana Kavase, because there's an anonymous Mishnah. Like Rabbi Meir, which Mishnah? The first Mishnah in the next parak. Titzanan, kol shah she mutar lecho machil. The Mishnah says, as long as you can eat chametz, you can feed chametz. Pashas, what does that mean to your animal? Eating and feeding have the same time period. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's not true. According to Rabbi Yehuda, eating ends before feeding. So isn't that Mishnah a raya to Rabbi Meir? That they both go in the same time zone, and that is eating and feeding both end at the end of the fifth hours. Isn't that a stam Mishnah like every Meir? So the Gemara says, no. Hahilav stamahu. That is not an anonymous Mishnah. Why? Bishop Dekashia Mutter. Because we're going to see at the beginning of the next parak that the last line, or not the last line, that word Mutter, Mishnah says, Kol Shasha Mutter Lechol Ma'achil Behema. We are going to understand that Mishnah in a different way. That word mutter is going to drive us to understand it as referring to a different shita, not the shita of Rabbi Meir, and therefore it is not considered an anonymous Mishnah. Right? Rashi quotes, we're going to understand it as the shita of Rabbi Gamliel, who says that Truma has a different shear than Chulin, as we just learned in our Mishnah on Yud Aleph Mabeis. So we're going to, that's not going to be an anonymous Mishnah. It's going to be a Chisurei Mechsera, and therefore, that's not a Raya to Rabbi Meir. Remember, we had back in Maseches Erevin, in the Mems, Mem Vav or so, the rules and regulations of Psak. Rabbi Meir and Yehuda, who do you paskin like? And this Baklos, who do you paskin like? But there's an overriding, the Gemara here assumes, that if there's a Stam Mishnah, maybe that could override. But the Gemara ends up saying it is not a Stam Mishnah. Says the Gemara, okay, so we don't pause like Rabbi Meir, there's no Stam like him. V'neima mar halacha k'Rabbi Gamliel. So how about like Rabbi Gamliel? Da havi lei machria. Because he's the machria. What is the machria? When there is a three-way machlokas in a Mishnah or a Brisa, the Gemara sometimes says, who do you pass like the machria? If you have one sheet on one side, one sheet on the other side, and then the third sheetah is pshara, the third sheetah paskins a little bit like one sheetah and a little bit like the other sheetah, that's the machria, because what that third sheetah says is the rov. Whatever he says, there are two people that hold like him. So maybe we should go like Rabbi Gamliel. Why? Because Rabbi Gamliel, in terms of Chulin, holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and in terms of Truma, holds like Rabbi Meir, gives you an extra hour. So isn't he a Machriya Shita? Says the Gemara, no, he's not a Machriya Shita. Amar lei, Rabbi Gamliel, la Machriya hu, tam denafshe ka'amar. No, he's a third opinion. He's not a Machriya. Why isn't he a machria? So Rashi explains, because if the Mishnah had said explicitly that Rabbi Meir holds that everything, Truma and Chulin, have through the fifth hour, and Rabbi Gamliel says everything only has Truma and Chulin have the fourth hour, and then Rabbi Gamliel will come and say, no, Chulin is this and Truma is that, that would be a machria. But if they do not explicate anything, they just say fourth hour, fifth hour, then he's the only one, the first one that comes and says Truma versus Chulin, that is not called a machria. Look at the last few lines of that Rashi. Aval hashta de inu lo idker Truma v'chulin klal, since they did not mention Truma and Chulin at all, v'lo gilu daitam sheyehe shum remez din l'chalek b'neihem, and they were not megala their das that there's any hint, lavachrahi eladash lishis, that's considered a third opinion, not a middle opinion, and therefore that's not called a machria, and that's not going to be machria in terms of psak. So we can still have the rules of, we can paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Good, we continue. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Ibaya Seima. So that was all version one. Rav Nachman in the name of Rav says we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and we knocked out the try of paskin like Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Gamliel. So now we have another reason. Maybe Rav Dabar Kiaitana, Rav passes like Rabbi Yehuda because he has evidence. He has another source that goes like Rabbi Yehuda. He passes like the following opinion. Titania, the Braisa says, this is a discussion later on in Daf Memtes, our boss, our Shechol Yes B'Shabbos, when you have Erev Pesach that falls out on Shabbos. Our boss, our Shechol Yes B'Shabbos. So, first issue is, what do you do with your chametz? You can't burn your chametz today, it's Shabbos. So what do you do with your chametz? Meva'arin esako milefnei HaShabbos. We destroy our chametz before Shabbos on the 13th of Pesach. Isn't there a mitzvah to destroy your chametz as the Zman is coming? Yeah, but here it's Shabbos. So you have to destroy all your chametz that you can before Shabbos. The Mordechai here says, though, that the minhag, even though there's no real halachic reason to do it, the minhag is to destroy one's chametz even on the 13th at the same time in the morning. Even though it's the 13th, that you could, there's no isur that are kicking in on Chatzos, but the minhag is, says the Mordechai, or he says you should do it, you should destroy it at the same time that towards the end of the fifth hour on the 13th, so that you don't get mixed up with other years. You don't say, oh, last year we burned it in the afternoon. Even though Maker did, that's okay, but the Mordechai says one should not rely on that. That's the Mordechai quoted here in Shulchan Aruch in Taf Mem Dalet. Mordechai says, Tov Leva'er, Be'erev Shabbos Kodem Chatzos. Kodem Chatzos, the Mishnah Berurah here says, means before the end of the fifth hour, an hour before that. Kidei Shelo Yavo Litos Bishar Shanim Levair Achar Chatzos. That's the Shulchan Aruch quoting the Mordechai on our Gemara. V'yom HaShabbos Yivatzlenu. And on Shabbos you do Bittel. But in terms of destroying the Chametz, you have to destroy it before Shabbos. V'sarfin Trumos, and you burn Truma, Temeos, Teluyos utahoros. And on Erev Pesach already, you can already burn Truma, even though it's not Aser yet. But because it's going to become Aser anyway, there's usually an Iser to destroy Truma. Asu Mishmeres l'mishmarti. But because it's going to become Aser anyway, so you're allowed to destroy it on the day before, on the 13th. Whether it's Tamei Truma, which is the mitzvah to burn, Teluyos, whether it's Safik Tamei, Safik Tar, Vitaharos, or it's even Tar Truma, right? All of those can be destroyed before Shabbos. Let's finish the whole braisa, and then we'll talk about it. Umishayrin minat Taharos, Mazon Shtei Sudos. But you leave over from the Tahar Truma enough food for two meals, because you're going to need that for Shabbos. Kedei Lechol an Dalet Shos, until enough to eat until the fourth hour on Shabbos morning. So who's fourth hour? Who is this Shita like? This is like Rabbi Yehuda. Div Rabbi Elezer ben Yehuda ish bartuta sh'amar mishum Rabbi Yeshua. So that's the Shita that Rav goes like. Rav goes like that Shita, because that's what he passes like Rabbi Yehuda, because that Shita is like Rabbi Yehuda. Amru lo, but first we finish the conversation. They say, so basically in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, that you're allowed to leave over the two meals, but everything else has to be destroyed, including Truma, on the 13th. Amru lo, they said to him, no, Tahoros lo yisrafu, do not burn Tahoros. Don't burn the Tahar Truma yet. Why? Shemi yimatsu lan ochlin, maybe you'll find some people to eat it. Why are you destroying it? You have a whole day today. Right? Maybe you'll find people to eat it. Amru lahen, no, kfar bikshu v'la matsu, they already looked. They already looked for people to eat this Truma, and they didn't find any. Amru lo, shebachus lachomolanu. Maybe people are sleeping outside the wall, and then they're going to come in and they're going to be able to eat truma. What are you jumping the gun for? Don't destroy your truma yet. Amar Lahem says, Rabbi Yeshua to them, what, we're always choshesh that there are more people out there. L'divrechem af tluyos lo yisarfu. So according to your words, that you're worried that maybe people will come, maybe even the tluyos, the suffix truma, shouldn't be destroyed yet. Why? What, people aren't going to be able to eat and eat suffix truma. No! Shema, you're always worried about things? Shema yavo elio v'yatarim. Maybe Mashiach's going to come. Not Mashiach, but Elio Navi, who's going to come before Mashiach. Maybe the Mavaser. Maybe he's going to come and tell us, you know, whether it's Tar or Tameh. That's interesting. Elio Navi is going to be poshet those type of Sveikas. Not just Sveikas and Din, but Safek and Mitzias. I'm not sure if this is Tameh or Tahar. Elio Navi is going to tell me what the answer is. Is that Loba Shemayimi? We'll talk about that. So the Gemara says, maybe Elio Navi's going to come. So Amru Lo, so Rabbi Yeshua says back, no, no, no. That we don't have to worry about. Because we have a Mesorah that he's not coming on that day. Kfar Muftach Lem Yisrael, as like we had in Erevin. No, we already have a Mesorah. She'en Elio Navi, En Elio Ba, Lo Ba'arvi Shabbosos, V'lo Ba'arvi Yamim Tovim Mibnei HaTorach. Elio is not coming on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontif. People are busy making the challenge. People are involved with their Hachanas. So that is why he's not going to come. So we don't have to worry about Elio Navi coming on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yantif. But in terms of people sleeping outside the wall, maybe you should be. So Amru, they said, so this was a machlokes. Amru lo zazim misham, achakavu halacha. They had the machlokes, but they were kovea the halacha. Krebelazar ben Yehuda ishbartuta sha'amar misham Rabbi Yoshua. Right, so that's like the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So my lav afilu le'echol, when the Gemara says we were koveya the halacha like him, doesn't that mean even in terms of what he said about the iser achila, that you have to destroy everything beforehand and you leave over until the end of the fourth hour, food till then, so that's like Rabbi Gamliel, isn't the halacha like him regarding that element of his shita? So the Gemara says no. It could be that when the Gemara says that Halacha is like him, that's only in terms of what they're arguing about. Bir chametz of truma before Shabbos. That's the element. But in terms of the eating element, who says that we hold like him? So Raya, obviously Rav felt that it was a good Raya. That's why Rav passes Halacha is like a Yehuda. But the Gemara says it's not a Mukhrach Raya, because it could be we only pass it like him regarding part of his shita and not the other parts of his shita. Okay, there's a lot to talk about here in terms of this brisa. Let's try to mention a couple of points. First is a small point, and that is, so Gemara says that Elio Navi is not coming on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, Mipnei HaTorach. There's a big discussion, the Tur quotes this from the Abu Draham. The Abu Draham has a few pages in his Siddur discussing this. This is why we are so many, all the Zmiris of Motzi Shabbos discuss Elio Navi. And that's why we focus on Elio Navi by Havdalah, because he hasn't been able to come for 2 days. So now, after 2 days of not being able to come, we're like, Elio, now you can come. That's why we sing all about Elio Navi on Motzi Shabbos and Mashiach, because now, after 2 days, after Muftach, that he's not coming on Erev Shabbos or on Erev Yontif, but we allow him to, we sing about him on Motzi Shabbos, because now he's able to come. Point number one in Rashi. The other point in Rashi is in terms of Shal Shudis. So what does the Gemara say, the Brisa? That we allow the person to leave over two meals in order to be able to have enough to eat and finish by the end of the fourth hour. What happened to Shal Shudis? Where's the third meal? So Rashi quotes, Mazur Shesu, those velo shalosh, to call shalosh su'udos to Shabbos, arvis, shachris, u'mincha, all the meals of Shabbos, arvis, shachris, and mincha. The erev Pesach, aser le'achol min ha'mincha u'lamala. On an erev Pesach, you can't eat from mincha and on. So that's why Rashi says shalosh u'dos is left out. So two ha'aras. Number one, the achronim are bothered. What do you mean? On erev Pesach, you can't eat min ha'mincha u'lamala. Well, because of the mitzvah matzah. The Isra of Chametz kicks in, right? And even earlier. That's one difficulty that the Achronim pointed out in Rashi. But the other point is, what about Shalosh Shudis? There are all different shitas about eating Shalosh Shudis earlier. So the Pnei Yeshua says, it must be that Rashi does not like splitting the morning meal. Because he says, you have to eat Shalosh Shudis later, and you can't do it. That's all he says. And therefore what? So what happened to Shalosh Shudis? So the Pnei Yeshua says, it must be that Rashi holds, like the shitas that you should use, fish or fruit or some other type of food when it comes to Erev Pesach that falls out on Shabbos. That's what he calls Ramashi. The Kashalei Lechora. Call Hak Milsa the Meshayim Mazon Shudos. Mazon Shudos. So he said, where's Shalosh Shudos? So he says it must be that Rashi holds that you can't eat it earlier, and therefore you should be Mekayim it b'mine Targima. As we know, on a regular Shabbos, the Shulchan Aruch quotes four different opinions in terms of what to be Yotze Shalosh Shudos with. The Shulchan Aruch quotes in Reish Sadi Aleph, Tzarech La'asosa B'pas. Unless we had any questions, you have to have bread. The Yesh Omrim, and that's the Shita of the tour, as we'll see. Not only the tour. The Yesh Omrim Shiyachal Asosa B'chol Ma'achal Asui Mirach B'chamesh B'nei Dagon. Second Shita Mizonos. The Yesh Omrim that you could use Basar V'dagim, but not fruit. The Yesh Omrim, the fourth Shita, the Shulchan Giborim says, even fruit, Yachal Asosa. But just in case we weren't sure what the Shulchan Aruch Paskin like, the Shulchan Aruch himself adds, the Svara Rishona Iker. Shetzarech Lasosa B'pas. Elaim Kein Hu Savea B'yoser. Right, that's the Shulchan Aruch. Got to make sure that you have bread. Or the Rama says, oh, but makab sheyef shalo lechol pas. Or in a place where you can't eat bread, like Erev Pesach, Shcholias B'Shabbos, then you can rely on some of the other shitas. The Shulchan Aruch says clearly, and the Rama does not argue, in terms of lechatchila eating bread, the Aruch HaShulchan writes here, the Rambam, the Riv, the Rosh, all the major Rishonim all hold bread. And asad litin es hadin, for those who aren't makpit to have bread, because, you know, many times it's like, right after Shabbos, we're not, no problem with people having bread. Right, they go out, whatever it is, pizza, but Shalosh Shudos. Shalosh Shudos is the third meal of Shabbos. Right? I learned that from Sukkim. Three hayoms in a pasuk in Mishalach. And therefore, the poskim say one should be very makbid in terms of bread, even in the summer months. At Chachamina Barosho, one should leave room for Shalosh Shudos. But, so the Pnei Yeshua says that Rashi must hold like the one of the other opinions that one cannot have bread on Erev Pesach Cholias B'Shabbos. It could be that there's another Shita that Rashi holds like. Because it's amazing that Rashi here says, Rashi doesn't say a word about Shalosh Shudos. He just says, and you can't have it later. So it sounds like, what, there's no Shalosh Shudos that day? So there's a tremendous chiddush of the Aruch HaShulchan. But maybe that's what Rashi is alluding to. Aruch HaShulchan in Erev Pesach, Shcholias B'Shabbos, in Taf Mem Daled. The siman about what to do, all the halachas of Erev Pesach, Shcholias B'Shabbos. The Aruch HaShulchan says, you know what you're supposed to do here? There's no chiyuv of Shalosh Shudos on Erev Pesach, Shcholias B'Shabbos. It disappears. V'niru ani es daiti. Why does he say this? He says this for a Shimon bar Yochai. There is a Zohar that's quoted in the Magen Avraham in Hilchas Pesach. It's not in Hilchas Shabbos. In Hilchas Pesach, where the Magen Avraham quotes from Shimon bar Yochai, used to learn instead of Shalosh Shudos. He used to learn. Right? Tarasa umnaso, he didn't do half the mitzvahs. So he used to learn instead of Shalosh Shudos. So the Aruch HaShulchan is about learning. And that's what some people rely on in terms on every Shabbos. The problem is that nobody quotes that in Hilchas Shabbos. That's only quoted in Erev Pesach Shecholias B'Shabbos. In this very difficult, impossible situation where you have to finish Shalosh Shudos at 9:30 in the morning. So in that context, the Magen Avraham quotes the Zohar, the Rav Shimon bar Yochai used to learn instead of Shalosh Shudos. Fine. The Aruch HaShulchan says it doesn't mean that he learned instead of Shalosh Shudos. What it really means is that on this day there is no chiyuv of Shalosh Shudos. Because you're up against the Isser D'Oraisa of Chametz. And the Isser, and the Din also, the Isser, maybe D'Oraisa, maybe the Rabbanan, of eating matzah. You can't eat either. He says, where do I have a precedent of this? What about Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos? There's also no Chiyuv of Shalosh Shudos that day. What happened to Shalosh Shudos? The answer is there are other Chiyuvim here that are against, and that come into, you know, that there's a clash, and therefore the what wins? Yom Kippur wins. So too here he says, "V'nir l'neis barer to call zehu milsi yisei rasa shar b'shabes zu bal karchach lo nitztavinu klal al shalosh shudos kivan she'iyef shar midi dahavi liyom kippurim shechol b'shabes v'huadin l'erev pesach le'inisu the shlishis." So it could be, I didn't say anybody put this together, but it could be that the Aruch HaShulchan is l'shitaso. The Aruch HaShulchan, which is so fierce and charif in Hilchas Shabbos, that you have to have bread. So of course he has to say here, well, you can have bread in the afternoon. So, you know, that's why he says that there's no chiyuv. He put one other Aruch HaShulchan together. He is very strong in terms of having Shalosh Shudos in the afternoon. He says you have to have the Suda Shabbos second meal in the morning and Shalosh Shudos in the afternoon. You can't have bread at afternoon here. So that's why it must be there's no chiyuv. So if you put all three Aruch HaShulchans together, it is l'shitaso. But maybe that's what Rashi's alluding to. Because all Rashi here says is you have to have the two meals by the morning because you can't have Shalosh Shudos. Period. So Rabbi Yeshua says he must be referring to one of the other shitas. Maybe he's referring to he's alluding to the Aruch HaShulchan. Either way, this is an important discussion. There's an interesting discussion in the Poskim, and with this we'll finish this section. Could you use matzah for Lechem Mishnah? Let's say you're going to hold like the shittas of having two meals in the morning. You have a meal, then you take a little walk, and then you have another meal. Having shalashuddis, two meals of bread in the morning. Could you use a matzah for Lechem Mishnah? The minhag is not to eat, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch even. The whole minhag of not eating matzah for a month, that's a later minhag of Achronim. But the Shulchan Aruch already quotes at least Erev Pesach. That's already in the Gemara, in the Yerushalmi. Somebody eats matzah on Erev Pesach, Kabbalah Rusasu Beveis Chamav, he's jumping the gun. So what about using matzah for Lechem Mishnah? So a minority of Poskim says you can't. It's not edible. But most Poskim assume you can. You can give it to children, you can give it to Cholim. And no, there is a tzar, just like a food on Yom Kippur. It's not muksa, because you can give it to cholim and give it to children. So too, pashtus is, one would be able to use it for Lechem Mishnah. The Aruch HaSameach has a line where he says, food can never be muksa. Food can never be muksa. The Aruch HaSameach in Hilchos Shabbos, in Perek Chafei, he says he's talking about muksa machmas chesra and kiss. If somebody has a certain type of fancy food, he says, food can never be muksa. Because if you're really, really starving, you're going to eat it. If you're really starving, you're going to eat it. Even if you have something that is usually you don't eat. Avagav da'os, we're just going to talk about what comes up later on in our Gemara in a second. Vavi muksam akmas chesron kiss. Ela b'miti de'mecha lo shayach haksa makmas chesron kiss. De'yim yirav vada yochal es advash. V'dayte de'inish akol midi de'chazilei. So the Arsameach, at least in one place, says you can never have food that is muksa, machmas, chesron, kiss, or any type of muksa, because push comes to shove, you are going to eat it. Okay, let's continue. Okay, we can't not do this. We also talk about Eliyahu Navi for a minute. Eliyahu Navi coming down, he's not coming on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yantif. We've quoted many times, but it's always good to review the Tshuva of the Chassam Sofer in Chelek Vav, Simin Tzadiches, where the Chassam Sofer discusses the parallel Gemara in Erevin, where this Gemara is quoted, where the Gemara asks the question of, is there Tchum in Lamala Miyud? Is there Isurim of Tchum Shabbos above 10 Tfachim off of the ground? Because after all, there was no Rosh Hashanah above 10 Tfachim, it was a welcome tour. So is there Tchumis? The Gemara says, well, Eliyahu Navi could come on Shabbos. The Gemara says, maybe he's not coming on Shabbos because of Tchumin and because of Erev Shabbos. That's the context of that Gemara. So the Chassam Sofer has a fascinating discussion in Vav Tzadiches, where he talks about, so how could he come to a bris, and how could he come to on Shabbos, Eliyahu Navi? How could he come? So he quotes there, Avol ha'emes yored darko kumi olam la'ol aliyah beguf la'malam miyud tvachim. There's Eliyahu Navi beguf and Eliyahu Navi b'neshama. And Eliyahu Navi's guf never went above 10 tvachim. That's still here. We can't see it. It's invisible. Maybe it's in Gan Eden, but we can't see it. But his guf is here. His neshama is above 10. So what, by a bris his guf comes? No, we don't see Eliyahu Navi. His neshama comes to a bris. So there's no limits of tchumin for a neshama. The only limits are, we know there are different stories in the Gemara when Eliyahu Navi came in his guf, right? And he started talking, the second daf in Shas, daf Gimel and Brachas. Eliyahu Navi met Rabbi Yossi, and he taught him three things, right? There are many stories in Shas about Eliyahu Navi meeting different Tanoim. So there may be issues of Tchumin, but not in terms of his neshama coming. Uviyom ha-besorah b'mher v'yameinu, tislabesh neshmaso b'guf ha-kadosh, halaz, v'az hu kechal adam mechach me'v'nevi'e Yisrael, v'hu musmach me'rabo achiyah shiloni ha-mimoshe Rabbeinu. And the smicha will continue, because he is a musmach. And you need Ishbi Moshe Rabbeinu, so that's what we'll have it. We'll have Eliyahu Hanavi. V'az yesh lo din kechal b'nei Yisrael, and that's how we'll be able to teach us Torah. By the way, there won't be Loba Shamayim he. Oh, he'll be a Navi. No, he'll be back in his human form. V'chein b'chol pam shemizgale u'misra'e ba'olam hazeh milubash begufo hazach. Ach, kishemizgale b'nishmaso, kamo b'yom amila, az einam mechuyah b'mitzvahs. Right? What, he comes out of bris on Shabbos? Don't worry about it. B'meisam chav shiksev. V'o sheyored mimata l'mala lo shayach tchumin u'kshemizgale l'ofan zeh har yom malach.
So
And he quotes Teku, Ve'elov Tishmun, Kimikamo, More, Uksheru, Rabbi Baruchana, Beis HaKvaris. Okay, continues. Right, the story of the Gemara when he sees him in the Beis HaKvaris and beginning of Sanhedrin. And he asks, aren't you a Kohen? Right, it must be that he was in his guf then, and that he was chayiv in mitzvahs. That itself is a machlokas. Right, which shevet is Eliyahu Navi from? Different chazals. So that there's one Gemara that says he's a Kohen, but others say he was from Gad. Different deis, right? Giladi, maybe from Gilad, Binyamin. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara, V'af Ra Rebbe Savalal or Rav Nachman. Rebbe also holds like Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman Amar Rav, who held that the halacha is like Rebbe Yehuda. So Rebbe also held that way. D'Amar Rav and Bar Rav Ada Ma'isa Badam Echad Shehifkid Disakia Melea Chametz Eitzel Yochanan Chakuka. There was a man who gave a bag of chametz, a sack of chametz to Yochanan Chakuka. We already had him. It's the second time we have this man in Maseches Pesachim. If you look back on Gimel Amar Beis. Right, we had on the bottom, Yochanan Chakuka'a, down there, and Rashi, Tosfos there quoted, whether Mechokek means a sofer, like Mechokek mi bin raglav, or Chakuka'a is the name of a place. Okay, see on the side, it's a quote that Tosfos in on Dav Gimel. So, he gave him a sack of chametz, v'nikvua achbarim, and the mice made holes in the bag. V'yachametz mevatzveis v'yotze, and there was chametz pouring out of the bag. U'balafnei Rabbi, and they didn't know what to do, because he has a bag of somebody else's chametz, and what should he do with it? It's not his. So he came in front of Rebbe. What should he do? Shari shona in the morning. Amar lo hamtein. He said, wait, don't do anything yet. Shnia amar lo hamtein. Shleishas amar lo hamtein. Revius amar lo hamtein. Chamishis. Now it's the fifth hour. So now Rebbe says, amar leit seu mocher bashuk. Go sell it. Go sell it. It's not yours. So what? It's about to become usher anyway. So zachin la adam, so to speak. Go sell it. So who was Rebbe referring him to sell it to? So my lav, this is during the fifth hour. So my lav lenachrim, didn't he mean to sell it to non-Jews? You can't sell it to Jews in this hour because the halacha is like Rebbe Yehuda. It's already aser b'hana. So isn't it to non-Jews, k'Rebbe Yehuda, like Rebbe Yehuda? According to Rebbe Meir, you'd be able to sell it to Jews here too. Right? Because it's still not aser to the end of the fifth hour. But doesn't he mean to non-Jews, to Rabbi Yehuda, so I'm Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yehuda, so Gemara says again, no Raya, I'm Rabbi Yosef, lo li Yisrael, Rabbi Meir. Maybe he means, no, you can even sell it to other Jews, like Rabbi Meir. Amar le Abaya, Eli Yisrael, Nishkei Lenafshei. If the allowance is to sell it to Jews, so why doesn't he just take it himself, and then be mevatel it? Doesn't have to sell it to somebody else. So the Gemara says no. There's a reason why he shouldn't do it himself. Mishum chishada. Because of chishad, we have other contexts where one has to be above any suspicion. Even though me'ikar adin, he's not doing anything wrong, because we don't want people to start talking and thinking. Right? There is a concept of maris ayin. Right? That's one idea, that I shouldn't do something that makes people think that I'm doing something wrong. So there's a similar idea of chishad, based here. Similar idea. There is a kind of dalakav schus, that's true. But I shouldn't do something that makes it hard for people to be done lakav schus. So the Tanya, we mentioned in the past, Rav Moshe's chilek of chshad and maris ayin. One is, maris ayin means people are going to think that I'm doing something and they're going to say, oh, I didn't realize that's mutter. I didn't realize that's kosher. While chshad is more of just people thinking that I'm doing something wrong. Not that people are going to think it's mutter. For example, the Tanya the Brisa says, Gabayt Staka she'ein lehem aniyim l'chalek. If the Gabayt Staka do not have any poor people to give the money to, partin la'cheirim being partin la'atzman, and they have copper coins, and they want to change it for silver coins, because they do the copper rusts. So, they're not allowed to change it with their own money. People are going to start talking. They should have other people exchange the money, and not themselves. And Gabay Tamchui, the Gabay of the Tamchui, the people who had the food kitchens in the days of the Mishnah. She'en lehem aniyim l'chalek. Mochin la'achirim, may mochin la'atzman. They shouldn't sell it to themselves. Mishum she'ne'amar, because the Pasuk says, this week's Parsha. Oh, Hashkacha. V'yisem nekiyah me'ashem me'yisrael. They should be naki, they should be clean in front of God and in front of fellow Jews. And that is why the issues of chshad are here. Here people are going to think, aren't going to think Geneva is mutter. They're just going to think that I'm doing something wrong, so therefore you shouldn't sell it to yourself, but really, Me'ikar Din, you could sell it to other Jews, so no Raya. So Gemara says, Amar Leir of Adar Bar Masa, Rav Yosef, Beferish Amar Tzlan, Tzeyum Achron L'Nachrim, Krebi Yehuda. So they said, Rav Adar says to Rav Yosef, remember, Rav Yosef was sick, he didn't always remember everything he said, so no, you told us, Beferish, that it's L'Nachrim. meaning like Rabbi Yehuda Shita, and that is why we do have a raya that Rabbi holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Period. And if you look in the Chashuke Chemed here, he quotes a story, a shaila, that somebody has somebody else's property, and also it's a question of what to do with it if something is going to go bad. Sheila, Maisa B'Yehudi. There's a Jew. Shematza Chavilos Gavinos V'Chlisin Labeso. I found a bag of groceries outside my house, and I look inside, and it's cheese. So I'm like, whoa. I better take it inside my refrigerator before it spoils. So I bring it inside my refrigerator. And now I have it inside my refrigerator and I still haven't found the real owner. And he brings it in and it's Erev Shabbos and now I need space in my fridge. I have no space in my fridge anymore. And the date on the cheese is tomorrow. So by tomorrow it's going to go bad and I'm going to have to throw it out anyway. Am I allowed to throw it out today on Friday? It's going to go bad anyway. So similar question. By chametz, there's going to be a halachic problem with this, so I'm allowed to earlier take care of it and get rid of it. So what about here? There's not going to be a halachic problem. There's just going to be it's going to spoil. So am I allowed to sell it? Am I allowed to do other things with it before Shabbos? Hey, mutter lo kvar ke'eth lo tziyam imam makarer shari kashal aniach shabaylam yavod. They haven't come for a week. Are the owners going to come now before Shabbos? Oh, I saw the sign up in the shul, and can I please have my cheese back? It's very probable that they're not going to come. So, where do you look? So, all of these shilas are easy for us because we ask them based on the Gemara that it relates to. Rav Zilberstein, you know, has shas in front of him and he has to relate all of these questions to Gemaras. So he says, this is Mavur. He says, you see from here that there's a responsibility for the Shomer to hold it up until the time that it's going to go bad. But here, if you could sell it, so then that's what you should try to do. You should try to do, just like here, right before it becomes usur. So maybe you should try to do. But then he says at the end, he says, I'm not so sure. This isn't a halachic issue. This is just a lemaisa is going to go bad. So he's not sure what to do in that situation. What would a person want? Is it zachalam shlo b'fanav? Either way, that is interesting question related to a Lamaisa case where our Gemara might come up. Good. 4 lines to the bottom. Amar of Yosef, Kemanazla HaShmaitza de Rebbe, who is the following? The Shmaitza of Rebbe, the following Shita of Rebbe, who is it like? Reb Shimon Gamliel? It's like Reb Shimon Gamliel, Rebbe who allowed you to sell the pikadon, as we're about to see. Before it's lost, it's like Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, it's none. The Mishnah says in Bava Metzia, Hamafket Peiros Eitz L'Chaveiro. I'm watching somebody's fruit, and then they start spoiling. Afilo Hein Avudin Lo Yiga Bahen, I'm not allowed to touch them. I'm not allowed to touch the fruit. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel Omer, no. Mocher Bebezdin, Mipnei Hashavas Aveda. You're allowed to sell in Bezdin because it's lost, and you're doing somebody a favor. You're being Meshav Aveda. You're allowed to sell them, says Reb Shimon Gamliel. So Rebbe, who allows you in the previous case, right, to sell the chametz before the Isser of chametz kicks in, so that's like Reb Shimon Gamliel, allows you to sell the pikadon, says the Gemara Amalei Abaya, who says, V'lavit mara'la, amra rabachan, amra Reb Yochanan. Reb Yochanan says about that machlokes of Ram Metzia, lo shanu, when is there a machlokes, ela bechtei chesronan, where it's going down at a regular depreciation rate. That's expected. Aval yoser michdei chesronan. But if it's a huge depreciation and the basically it's going to get lost. Let's say the fruit are totally rotting. There's not going to be anything left. Then even Rebbe, even the first shita would agree. Mochrim bebezdin. Even who's the first shita? Tanakama. The first shita would say you're allowed to sell it. V'koshkin hacha tapseidi lagamri. And surely here where it's totally lost. Meaning you don't have to say Rebbe is only like Reb Shimon Gamliel. He might even be like the Tanakama here because where it's getting totally lost, everybody agrees that you're allowed to sell it. Good. The old Amar of Yehuda back to the Mishnah. Shtei chalos v'chulu. The Mishnah had said that there was a special simon that was given to Klal Yisrael to know what time it was on Erev Pesach. When the two chalas psulos, the todas chalas psulos were out, then they knew it was still the fourth hour. When one was taken in, then it was the fifth hour. When both were removed, they knew it was the sixth hour. Good. So, Tani Tanaka made Rav Yehuda. Al gav ha'itztava, the Mishnah said, and the Brisa that was in front of Rav Yehuda used the language of al gav ha'itztava. on the bench. So Agave Istva on the bench, that's where they put the simin. Amalei Vechila Hatzdienu Tzarech, who could see anything on the bench? There were benches outside of Har HaBayis, all around. They put it on a bench, that's not something visible. So why they put it there? So Tini Al Gag HaItztava. Okay, really it should be Al Gag. There was like an awning on each bench. So that's where you put it on top of an awning, which is higher up. The Rishash here says that in the earlier sources, it just said Ayin Gimel with like a Rashi Tevis. So they thought it was Al Gav, but really, really it meant Al Gag. That's how you can have a difference between Al Gav and Al Gag. Fine. Amar Rechava, Amar Bihuda, Harabayas Stav Kafal Haya. Harabayas had a whole area of double benches. Tanya Nami Hachi, Harabayas Stav Kafal Haya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Istavanis Haisa Nikres. It was called Istavanis, Stav Afrimi Stav. It was a bench within a bench. There were two rows of benches, good, and they put it on the back of one of the, on the top of one of these benches. Psulos, Vechulu. So what did the Mishnah say? Back on Daf Yud Aleph. What did they use as the simon? They used the last, the end of Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yehuda says, two chalas of carbon toda psulos. That's what they used to use. So the Gemara now talks about amai psulos. Why were they pasul? Why were they chalas psulos? We've mentioned in the past, or we mentioned I think 2 days ago, that the carbon toda was brought with 40 loaves. 30 of them were matzah, 10 of them were chametz. That's why the carbon toda, as we'll see in a minute, was off limits on Pesach. So, says the Gemara, why do they use pasul todas? And where do you get pasul todas from? So we are going to have three different suggestions. We might only get to two of them today. So, number one, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Number one, Mitok Shahayim Arubos Nifsalos Balina. Because there were so many carbon todas brought, they were Nifsal. What does that mean? All people who came, imagine, all of Klal Yisrael comes for Pesach to the Beis HaMikdash. So they all have these carbon todas that they've had to bring for the past 6 months. And they haven't been to Yerushalayim. There were tons of carbon todas that had to be brought. When did they bring them? They brought that on the 13th. Not on the 14th. Because the 14th, they only had a couple hours to eat them. So they brought it on the 13th. But how long do you have to eat the carbon toda? Day, night. That's it. By the morning, it's pasul. So they had all these leftover toda breads by the morning. That's why they used that. That's the first day, Rabbi Chanina. Mitok Shayim Arubos Nifsalos. Because he had so many, they became Nifsabalina. Ditanya, because after all, the Brisa says, Ein Mevi'in Toda B'chaga Matzos, you can't bring the carbon Toda on Pesach, Mipnei Chametz Shabbat, because of the 10 loaves of Chametz, and you can't bring a half a carbon Toda, so because of those loaves, you have to bring it on Erev Pesach. Pshitas. The Gemara says, that's obvious that you bring it on Erev Pesach. Amar of Adabar Ava, Hachab Yudalar Askina. No, the point is that you cannot bring it on the 14th. Why? Vikasavar Ein Mevi'in Kachon, Beis HaPsul. You can never bring a carbon where you are going to have a minimal time of partaking of it. Right? There are rules and time zones for how long you have. By a kachay kachim, chatas and asham, you have day and night. By shlamim, you have day and night day. By toda, you have day and night. Right? But they all have different rules. So, but if you ever bring a carbon in a time when you're going to have less than the usual time, you're not allowed to do that. That's called Eimivin Kachim Lebeis HaPsul. So here too, if you bring the carbon toda on the morning of Erev Pesach on the 14th, you're going to run out of time. You can't even have it all day. And that's why, V'kulei Alma B'shlosha Asar Maisilhu, everybody used to bring their carbon todas on the 13th, day night. Because there were so many of them, they were nifsa balina. Period. Remember we mentioned a couple years ago the Netziv in a Parsha Shir. The Netziv points out it's ironic that a carbon toda has the shortest time to eat it in. Right? That's why out of all carbon shlamim, toda is a type of carbon shlamim. You only have day night. You don't have day night day like regular carbon shlamim, and you have the most to eat. You have 40 loaves, says the Netziv is Badafka. Because carbon toda, the Torah wants you to publicize. The Torah wants you to share it with your friends, with your family. And if you only have a short amount of time to eat 40 different breads, it forces us to share it and to tell everybody, why do you have so many breads? Oh, Hashem did this for me, v'chulu. And that's what in the Harchev Davar, in Parsha Sav, he talks about. That's l'cha ezvech zevach toda, v'shem Hashem ekra, right? In front of Hashem, nedarai l'shem ha'shalem, negdana l'chal amo. Because it's l'chal amo, I have to share with everybody because I have so much to eat and so little time to eat it. But even so, there was left over, and that's where you got a chala that was nifseles, and that's what you used as the simin on Erev Pesach. That is all number one. Number two, Mishum Reb Yana Yamru Ksheros Hayu. Really, it was not pasul yet. Really, maybe somebody brought a carbon toda on Erev Pesach. It was kosher. But why they use it? V'ela amai kari lupsulos. Why was it possible? Why didn't they just eat it? Shelo nishchat alein azevach. Because they didn't shech the carbon toda yet. As we know, there is a beautiful, interesting discussion, the relationship between the loaves and the animal within carbon toda. You have a couple of carbonos where there's a relationship between two parts of the carbon. One of them is carbon toda. You have loaves and bread. When are you allowed to eat the bread? Only after the avoda of the animal is completed. So here, it becomes kadosh right when you're makdish it, but you cannot partake, you can't eat the loaves until you shechta the animal. So maybe those are the loaves that we're using on Erev Pesach. It's loaves that you didn't shech the carbon toda yet, that's why you can't eat it, that's why the Mishnah calls it pasul. But it's not really pasul yet. So the Gemara says, so what are you waiting for? V'nishchot. So shech the animal. No, she'avad azevach. It got lost. You use loaves of carbon todas that got lost. And that's why they're not shechtable. Now I see zevach achav v'nishchot. So bring another animal and shecht. So that's why you can have the loaves. So the Gemara says, no, de amar zu todav zu lachma ukid de rabba. It's like she does rabba, de amar rabba, rabba says, avar halechem, maybe lechem acher. If the breads got lost, you could bring more breads to connect to your animal carbon toda. Of the toda, ein mevi toda acheres. But if you lost the animal, forget it, it's lost. If you lost the animal, you cannot eat your loaves. Why? My taima, lechem, glal toda, v'ein toda glal lechem. The loaves are secondary to the animal. So if you lose what's secondary, you could substitute it. But if you lose the ikar, then the tuffel just falls away. So that's what we're talking about here. It's a case where you lost the animal, so these loaves are stuck. They're in limbo. You can't eat. They're not pasul yet, but they can't become edible. So those are the loaves that you use to make the siman on Erev Pesach. Ivan if for kinu, and if kinu l'chulin, why don't you just redeem them then? Redeem them for money, and they will go to Chulin, and you could eat them. You don't want to violate Bal Tashkas. So the Gemara says, Ella, no, this is really the second opinion. This is what Rabbi Yannai meant. Ella la olam she nishchad alei mazelach. No, the animal was there, and you did shech the animal. V'nishfach adam. But the blood spilled out before you got to do Zrikas Adam. And Mistama, this happened every Erev Pesach, and that's the loaves that you use. Ukeman ukerebi, and it's like Rebbe Shita Dama Rebbe, Shnei Dvarim Hamatirin Ma'alin Zebelozeh. Rebbe holds when you have two items, like we said, that work in consonance with each other. You have the bread and you have the carbon, and you need two actions that are matir. What actions are matir? The bread here? The shchita of the zevach and the zrika of the zevach. So Rebbe holds that either one of them creates kedusha enough that you cannot redeem the item. So after shchita, these breads are fully kadosh. They're not redeemable anymore. They're not edible until after you do zrika. So that is why in our case, where you did shchita, but not zrika, these breads are in limbo. They cannot be redeemed. Where does Rebbe say this? There's another example where you have two items that work together. D'tanya, shvuas, kivsei atzeres. We know on shvuas, we bring the special carbon of the shtei halechem from the new grain, the new wheat. That also, those breads are brought with a special carbon. The only carbon shlamim, that's a carbon sibur, the kivsei atzeres. Kivsei atzeres ein makajinus alechem ela b'shchita. The sheet that are brought on shvuas do not sanctify the bread except after shchita. Ketzah, what does that mean? Shachtan lishman v'zarek daman lishman, that's what you're supposed to do. If you did the shchita and the zrika with proper intentions, l'shem this carbon, kiddush alechem, it's exactly what you're supposed to do. Shachtan shalol lishman v'zarek daman shalol lishman, but if you did everything wrong, shalol lishman, lo kiddush alechem, the lechem does not achieve kedusha. Shachtan lishman v'zarek daman shalol lishman, what if you did shchita properly but not zrika? Lechem kadosh ve'eno kadosh divrei Rebbe. That's Rebbe Shita. The lechem achieves kedusha, that it's no longer redeemable, but it's not edible until you did the second one, until you did this rika. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer, la'olam eino kadosh ha'lechem ash yishchad ha'lishman v'yizrak dam ha'lishman. Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon says, no, it's all or nothing. Until you do both shchita and zrika, these breads are redeemable. So our Mishnah suggests Rebbe Yanai is talking about, it's going like Shita's Rebbe, you did Shchitas HaZevach and not Zrikas HaZevach, so this bread is stuck, and those are the breads that they used to use as the simin on Erev Pesach. So the Gemara just ends off by saying, you didn't have to say that. Afilu Tehim HaBlazer Reb Shimon, our Mishnah could even be according to HaBlazer Reb Shimon over there, HaChamay Eskinon, Kigon Cheniskabel Hadam Bekos. V'nishbach. Maybe you not only had shchita sadam, but you had kabbalah sadam. You caught the blood, and then it spilled out. How would that help us? For Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Savala Kavua. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon holds like his father, Rabbi Shimon, Da Amar, Kala Ome Lizro, Kazarik Dami. Rabbi Shimon holds, if you catch the dam and you're able to do Zrika, it's as if you did Zrika. Sometimes the destiny of an item, we already see the destiny as if it happened already. Kala Ome Lizro, Kazarik Dami here. So therefore, the Mishnah could even work according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Shita. It's not good enough to allow you to eat it yet. To allow you to eat it, you need actual Zrikas Adam, but in terms of achieving Kedusha, that it cannot be redeemed, it could be that this is good enough. Kal HaOmei Lizrok Ki Zarek Dam. It's a big sugya of Kal HaOmei Lizrok. B'ez Hashem, maybe we'll talk more about it tomorrow, and we'll get to the third day of what our Mishnah is referring to. Again, our Mishnah is either Rabbi Chanina, you have actual pasul breads, because there are so many carbon totes that are brought, you definitely have leftover. Number two is Rabbi Yanai, that they're kosher, but they're inedible, because you can't do Zrikas Adam. And number three, we're going to have the third day of tomorrow, we're going to have Tanim Shem Rebbe Elazar, is going to be a third day of what Pasul means, it really means Kusher. And then, B'ez Hashem, we get into tomorrow's Daf, Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim, the five blot at the end of the first parak of Maseches Pesachim. Okay, we'll stop here. And by the way, there is a Daf Be'in Shir that was put up, related to Inyana Dioma, the murky roots of Melech HaMashiach. B'ez Hashem, it should be up on online on OU.org.